First reading is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 72, found on the Church Bible in page 585. Of Solomon. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son of your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the peoples and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun and as long as the moon through the generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish, prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. Verse 18. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel. He alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glory, name for ever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. This can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1096. Acts chapter 4. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord.
Do take a seat. It's lovely to be back with you here this morning. Many of you have said, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time. Well, I have been around. I haven't been anywhere else but in the parish. But it's lovely to be back here this morning with you and the church, as always, so beautifully decorated. And today we're going to look at this passage from Acts. Now, the first thing that came into my mind as I read this is probably not very biblical at all, but it was a little clip from the film Finding Nemo. I wonder how many of you have seen that film. It's a tiny little fish with a slightly wonky flipper or fin. Is it a fin? I don't know, whatever it is that makes a fish go forward. One of them doesn't work properly, and he goes missing, and his father goes off to look for him. And this particular clip that I'm thinking of is where Nemo's father, I can't remember his name, and Dory are thrown out of a fish's mouth onto the decking in a harbour. And the gulls that are flying around all start shouting, "Mine, mine, mine, mine." Have any of you seen it? Yes. Good, it's not completely lost then. There they are going, "Mine, mine, mine, mine," as these fish are flapping around out of the water. And these gulls are trying to get them, obviously, for their dinner, and they think that they're fair game. And another bird comes flying in with a great big pouch, scoops them up and goes flying off. And these gulls meet a messy end as they fly straight into the sails of a boat, each one of them with their beaks stuck into the sail. But it's those words, mine, 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 that stuck in my head as I was reading this passage. Now, this is nothing to do with whether fish out of water are fair game and who is the rightful owner of that dinner. This is about, of course, the words of God today. And what is it about mine, mine, mine that stuck in my head there that I'm going to share with you this morning? As very small children tend to struggle with possessions of toys or a parent or some other sharing issues, mine, mine, mine becomes a fairly ingrained mantra from a very, very young age. And it's naturally right that we do protect our belongings, our homes, our assets, those that we love. That in itself is not wrong. But this passage challenges us to think about what is it that has kingdom significance. So first of all, I want us to have a look at what comes before the passage that's just been read to us, going back to page 1095, and then you can see a wider picture of what is going on here. So page 1095, at the beginning of that chapter. We hear that the Sadducees have found Peter and John speaking to people about Jesus, and they've put them into jail where they spend the night. They continue, when brought for questioning, to speak about Jesus and his resurrection. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus that the man back in chapter 3 is healed. The Sanhedrin recognize that Peter and John did indeed know Jesus, and that they were speaking, what they were speaking of was what they had experienced firsthand. These things need to be contained. These things can't be allowed to spread. We must tell them not to speak. They do let them go, but that's not without concern. They're very concerned about these words that are being shared. But what next? These men are just bubbling with the good news. They just can't keep it in. They're so excited about it that they just want to share it. And what happens next is so rich in unity and in passion. They shared with others, and instead of the reaction being grumbling and fear, they shared with others what had happened to them. And the others don't respond with a grumbling, oh no, you shouldn't have been doing that, or a fear, oh no, what's going to happen to us? Yet again, they are pointing back to Jesus. They raise a prayer together, speaking to God, not asking him to release them from the difficulty, not begging him to make life easy for them, but asking for one thing, for courage, that they can continue to go on sharing the good news. They're not puffed up about what they've done, but they are continually pointing back towards Jesus. They're humble, they're united, and they're Jesus followers. And what happens next? We see God responding in such a tangible way. The place that they met shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Individuals with individual experiences coming together, united in and through one God. And here we step into the part of the passage that was read to us today. Thank you very much. Verse 32. All the believers were in one heart, one in heart and mind. Imagine that. All, not some, and a few others that think slightly differently, all of them were in one in heart and in mind. In heart, in here, and in mind, in here. Not carried away just with the passion, but also in their minds as well. The two were linked and went together. What they were thinking and their response to it was unified. Now, I don't think that that means that they were all like robots and that they had no choice about what they were thinking, or that the words and the thoughts that they had were exactly the same. But I do think it means that their vision and their passion to move forward was of one. And what would that one have its basis in? Jesus Christ. Imagine a church where all the believers were in one heart. One in heart and mind. Imagine the local church. Imagine the national church. Imagine the worldwide church being one in heart and mind, where the focus was entirely on Jesus and the proclaiming of the word, where testifying to Jesus' resurrection came both in word and in deed. And in so many places, we do indeed see that. The way they were living was united in both word and in deed. And right there, in the middle of this reading, is the resurrection. It's the centre of it all. They have asked for courage, and they seem to have received it in abundance. They've been so moved by the presence of God that they are voluntarily sharing everything they have. They received God's grace, and they shared everything that they had. God's love, God's passion, God's grace, and his courage had been so outpoured upon these people that they didn't have it's mine attitude at all. But each person came and gave both in word from what they had in action. Now, let's remember back to Matthew, where the man asked what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus went through the list of commandments and then said, "Sell everything you have, and follow me." And we know that the man went away sad, because at that time he just couldn't do it. Now, this sermon could easily become about talking about the parish share and how much is in our collection plate each Sunday, and can we meet all of our overheads in church? But that's not what I'm going to speak about today at all. That's not what I see here in this passage today. This is a time where I want to encourage you to think about how our hearts are changed by Jesus being in our lives. What does unity look like in your life, in our church, in our community, in our world? Now, at no point in this reading do we see people being forced to speak or forced to give or even forced to think like one another. At no point in this passage do we see people manipulated to speak or to give or to think like the other. And at no point in this passage are people in fear if they do not give or think or speak in the way they've been told. They are of one heart and one mind. They're not out for themselves. People still owned land and houses, and they sold that. Now, these weren't little tiny Lego houses that, actually, Lego's quite expensive, isn't it? But actually, they're not little tiny houses. These are real houses. This is real land. Imagine the cost to us today if we sold our houses, sold any land that we had, and gave it over to be used for the furthering of God's kingdom. That's not an easy give. That's not something, it's no different from them for them as it is for us to think and try and comprehend what that might look like. It would have had an impact on their wallets too. It doesn't say that the rich and wealthy sold their houses and land. It simply said that those who owned land and houses sold it. It's the next part I want us to think about. They didn't then turn up and say, "Here's the money, and this is how I want you to spend it. This is what I want you to use it for." They simply laid it at the apostles' feet to allow them to distribute it to anyone as he had need. Those who had given had already received. Those who received in abundance. They gave willingly. They gave without being forced in any way. They gave freely. They gave because their hearts had been changed. All agendas were off the table. The concept of it must be done my way was off the table. They simply laid what they had at the apostles' feet. The passion was to share the gospel, share the news of the resurrection, and that they all may share what they have. These were changed hearts, and hearts passionate to follow God's call, hearts that were so fully turned to God, hearts and lives that trusted in him and asked him for what they needed, and they did receive. What they needed was not material, but they simply asked for courage. Now, for the next few moments, I want us to reflect on two things. Firstly, prayer. We see them pray. They pray together. How's our prayer life as a church? How's our prayer life as individuals? These people in Acts gathered together to speak to God. They raised their voices up. They praised God. And together they spoke to God. They shared what was going on. These individuals came together with one focus to pray. They acknowledge God's power and his works. They asked God questions. They say, why? They're reciting the words from Psalm 2, and they asked that they be enabled to speak boldly. And God responded. We're not told how long that they waited for him to respond, but God responded. Do we gather together today and pray for boldness? Do we pray for that as individuals while still a part of the whole? Not to say that that's for someone else, they're better at speaking than me, but all these believers were in one heart and mind. Not just the ones that fancied it, not just the ones that were obviously gifted, but all of them. Unity. Unity within the believers. Unity about what was important, and unity in sharing God's word boldly. And as we approach the general election this week, in a country, in a world that's so divided at this time, political parties all sharing their piece for the position of power, what can we as a church offer? What can we as a church show as distinctively different? Is our voice a voice of unity? One that can be heard. What is important to share? What can we model to the rest of the world that can make a difference to how people view Christianity and the church? We can offer Jesus. We can offer his view to make a difference in the world. Unity, togetherness, fellowship. And how can we do it? We can come together to pray for God's boldness, to share the truth, and to share the hope that comes from our resurrected Christ. And the second thing that I want us to focus on is that, are we prepared to invest in God's work, to give abundantly of ourselves? Not necessarily going and selling your buildings, your homes, your land, but be giving abundantly of ourselves, that we may make a lasting and creative difference in the world. That we may not become a people who shout, mine, 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 but we are able to give to anyone in need. Not a my way or no way kind of attitude. Now, this investment is about investing in community, not just those in our church communities, but beyond the walls of the church, looking outwards and seeing how we can have a generous attitude, generous hearts, united hearts and minds, generous, generous hearts and minds. We're in our lives, in our church, have we become mine, mine, mine? Let's ask God to reveal that to us. Maybe we should ask God to reveal to us as a church how we can focus on being one in heart and mind for the good of building his kingdom. Now, in a moment, I'm going to spend a few moments allowing you to listen to God in prayer. But first, I want to share with you a poem that Malcolm Gait wrote, a poem called Living As If. The giver of all gifts asks me to give. The fountain from which every good thing flows, the life who spends himself that all might live, the root whence every bud and blossom grows, calls me as if I knew no limitation, as if I focused on all his hidden force, to be creative with his new creation, to find my flow in him, my living source, to live as if I had no fear of losing, to spend as if I had no need to earn, to turn my cheek as if it felt no bruising, to lend as if I needed no return, as if my debts and sins were all forgiven, as if I too could body forth his heaven. Now the people in Acts prayed for courage. They were of one heart and mind. They gave freely and without force or fear or manipulation. They were united to make a lasting and creative difference to the lives of others. Let's take a few moments to listen to what God is saying to us from that passage this morning. Let us pray. Father God, speak to us afresh today and in the week ahead. Where we have lost focus, open our eyes. Where we need courage, pour it upon us. Help us to see the kingdom needs around us, and guide us and lead us and equip us to respond in unity as your people. Amen. Brian, I hope you don't mind. I just want to share one little thing with you that I've brought. Now, some of you may know that we have an open house at St. Philip's each Saturday morning between 10 and 12 o'clock, where we open the doors. It's literally an open house. We open the doors of the house and invite people in. And a couple of weeks ago, I took along some stones for little baby Jesuses to be painted upon them. That's about the biggest one I've got. Now, I've put a few at the back here. The children and the adults, everybody joined in together painting these stones. And some of them are painted by other people, some I've painted myself as well. And sometimes when we're praying, it's nice to hold something. Maybe you have a holding cross or something else that helps you to focus on Jesus as you pray. Now, I've just left a few at the back. If you would like to take one, you're very, very welcome. And if there isn't one there, just shout, because I've got a whole bag of them. But this is the community sharing together, sharing a little bit of Jesus. And if you happen to find one in the streets, do take a picture of it and send it to me. Let me know where it was. Because we want to share Jesus with as many people in our community as we can. And this is just another little way of bringing people's hearts and minds to focus on him. So if you would like one of those to pray with, there's a couple at the back of the church. Thank you, Brian.